It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hour number three. Off and running. Our thanks to New Wake Outfitters, sponsors of Hour 1, Chris's Paving. Hour number two. You can always join us on the caller and guest hotline. The Ruderman Can caller and guest hotline. RudermanCan.com. You want to go check them out here as well. We're going to lead off with Ollie Cosell. He's at the scorer's table. Wait for the buzzer. Not there just yet. Marlon Favreit, 215. Leo Haggerty, 230. Got a ton to get into. We do have a medical update on the Bills. If you're just joining us, welcome to the show. Got a couple of scores in the NCAA March Madness. These games are final. Northwestern 77-65 over Florida Atlantic. Colgate goes down. Baylor beats them 92-67. At the half, Western Kentucky 43-36 over Marquette. Western Kentucky a 15 seed. Marquette a 2 seed. And just underway in the second, about 2 minutes and 15 seconds in, UAB 29, San Diego State 35. San Diego State is a 5 seed.
It indeed is Friday.
Got a lot to get into today. Following the show, go pick up the kiddo, maybe treat him to Frosty or something. Then I got to change and head on out. I'll be over at Wrong Iron for a Pelicans official watch party. If you want to go out there, Pierre Pelican, dance team, goodies. A beverage sponsor will be there as well. Maybe Ollie Cosell will be on the bar doing body shots or just signing autographs for his adoring fans. Ollie Cosell joins us, covers the Pelicans and the NBA. Ollie, how are you this evening, sir?
Hey, Gus. I wish I was more joyful, basically the way you're describing me on tonight, potential scenario, than I really feel. Yeah, but hey, good news that Brandon didn't sustain ligament damage. So we can start there.
Let's start there. It is a bone contusion. This was Trey Murphy, who's going to have to step up here on the loss last night.
Obviously, like, it hurts because, you know, you've been through there. You've been there, and you obviously hope there's nothing wrong with him. And, you know, he's been a big help for me in my career, my progression, my whole maturation process. And so, you know, just seeing him go down like that definitely hurts a lot. So definitely just pray for him.
CJ McCollum.
Messed up the mood. The whole mood is not great. We're praying for him, hoping for the best. You know, B.I. is a really good human being, obviously a great basketball player, but solid human being, loves the game, and we all want what's best for him, and obviously what's best for our team, so we're hoping for the best.
Ollie, I played those two clips because you could feel the emotion, you know, aspect of it. And let's be honest. I mean, when I left the studio yesterday, I'm texting Todd. I'm like, do you see him? Is he walking? Is he in a wheelchair? Like, give me something, man, because it looked bad. Knowing that he's going to be out, though, for at least 2 weeks, and that's 8 games, we can get into that. But how does his team bounce back here on a game that the Heat need, too? They're a half game out of 6. They don't want to be in the play-in.
Yeah, so first of all, to your point about what you just said, the mentality of a team just suddenly took a nice turn upwards, right? Learning the results of the MRI. They know that there's a chance that they could get B.I. back in the regular season, but perhaps more likely in the playoffs. And I think that's the best case scenario. So you've got to now handle your business. So I think everybody's going to feel inspired. And let's face it, at certain times of this year, a lot of these guys, these role players, have stepped up, right? Played good basketball. But now you're going to kind of ask for a lot of them to do it at the same time. So it's going to take everybody, right? You're trying to replace your best playmaker, your best shot maker, and your second best defender in the starting lineup. So CJ McCollum, he's going to have to become more aggressive and look to initiate the offense. Of course, Dion, I mean, I should have started with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be the guy that's going to be the driver, I feel like. If he can stack good games, not only can the Pelicans have a chance to win a lot of these remaining 13 games, he's going to put himself, I think, in all-NBA type of talk, right, to where he could make a team if he really lifts up this team, puts them on their back, and leads them, right, to a top 6 finish, because that should be the goal now. I think all thoughts of maybe sneaking up and grabbing 4 from the Clippers is probably gone. So, yeah, starts with Zion, and he just has to play smart basketball. For me, when you look at just the stats, when he has more assists than turnovers, the Pelicans almost always win. And when it's vice versa, more turnovers, then the vast majority of those outcomes have been losses. So then, like I said, CJ's going to become a bigger playmaker. Mm-hmm. So then you're going to need more cuts from the Herb Joneses to the Trey Murphys, who honestly require getting the ball in a good position, right? You can't ask them to suddenly create. We've seen glimpses, right? And they can do that if they've got a favorable matchup out there on the court. But, again, you're going to have to find an offense where it's going to move the ball. Unlike just what we saw last night. I feel like after B.I. went down, that offense just completely fell apart. Z tried to do too much. You can't have that.
Right.
You're going to have to trust each other. Basically what Willie Green's always said all season, these guys are going to have to trust each other and execute because the offense is going to be that good. You're not going to have your release valve. So, like I said, everybody's got to step up. And what I'm curious about the most is getting Dyson Daniels back, who's their fourth best playmaker, is going to help. But what about Jonas Valanciunas? I think if you could utilize him somehow, more so, because he's shown he's 18-10, right, 60% from the field, can make a pass. He's sitting there for you to utilize, and I'm hoping that Willie does.
Boy, you brought up something a caller did, Brian, back in hour number two. He wants to understand why Jonas isn't used more towards that there as well. Look, you know me. I nightly text you. I'd love to use the three-point shooting on the bench. So, look, along those lines, how much is it to where, look, you stay with what's worked and tonight's just not your night, or, hey, it's not working tonight, but let's just see if everything doesn't work tonight to that instant or not, or, to your point, going into the game and going, look, we have to use Jonas to where his positive aspects or what he can bring maybe puts them at a discomfort, or is he just, I don't know, it's when do you use Jonas, when do you not in your mind?
Yeah, Willie's going to have to get creative over these last 13 games. Suddenly, I think the piece you can rely on the most, right? Brandon was the point guard of this team. You saw it in the preparation, in everything with James Borrego before games, after games, in practices. I didn't see a player try and strategize for the following game more than Brandon. So, like I said, you're suddenly missing that piece. So, you've got so many holes to fill, Gus, so you have to try everything. And you should, like you said, if all of a sudden you need offense, you're starving, go ahead and give Jordan Hawkins, maybe even Matt Ryan some run. But yes, Jonas, I would start there. I just feel like this guy's been underutilized a lot during Willie Green's tenure. I didn't think so it was that bad of a problem, this big of a problem at the start of this season. But lately, he's gone away from him. I don't have to tell you this. I mean, Jonas is seeing less than 20 minutes a game here in this month of March, by far his lowest in the Pelicans uniform. And usually he has the mismatches. So for an offense that I'm expecting to be starved, right, because they're not going to have the creation, unless they can get out and get, what, 25 or so points in off of turnovers and fast break points, they're going to have trouble scoring, getting to 120 points a game. So you're going to have to find that offense somewhere, and JV's as good a place to start as any, because you know the rotations are certainly going to be mixed up. Mm-hmm. No longer is ZBI splitting time, one guy resting. Now it's going to have to be CJZ, but you're going to have to fill in those other important secondary roles. I really think JV can help there.
Okay, you just brought it up, right? You need to find scoring. All right, so you added one element of it there. I've moved Trey Murphy, who's the only guy that scored really on your bench before garbage time last night. Mm-hmm. So he's now a starter. I have to play somebody, right? I mean, Jordan Hawkins has to play now, and I mean, I don't know where else you would go. You got to get some scoring.
I'm with you. I think Jordan Hawkins, I hope they're looking at it starting today. Coming off the bench, you need somebody that the offense, you can find the easy points from almost in a way, right? You know Jordan can create a shot, get his shot. Let's put it that way. Not create so much, but find his shot because of how he maximizes his movement. He can always, you know, get it over anybody, and that's the key. All of a sudden with Brandon Ingram, you're not going to have that guy anymore that can raise up over the defense at any point from anywhere on the field or on the court. I think Jordan Hawkins could be that guy, right? If he could get you just 10 points a game, right, and make the defense respect what you're doing offensively, I think that's such a huge win. Because nobody else can do that, right? Jose can't do that. Najee, for all the good things they do on the court, that's not in their wheelhouse. Same thing goes for when Dyson Daniels gets back. And we know Larry Nance doesn't like to, you know, look even at the basket a lot of times. So it has to be somebody there. And I think you just nailed it. It has to be Jordan Hawkins. They got to give him a look.
All right, Ollie, obviously the matchup today is kind of key. In that, look, a lot of the storyline, obviously, is going to be what happened here last time, the suspensions and all of that. But there are going to be missing some guys. I know the Pels are missing Brandon Ingram, but the Heat will be without Tyler Hero, who has a foot injury, Duncan Robinson with the back, Kevin Love with the heel, Bam Adebayo, who's been dealing with the back, is listed as questionable. The graph's like, you know he's going to play. Look, Jimmy Butler's been on that injury, but you know he's going to play. So, but without Tyler Hero, without Kevin Love, without Duncan Robinson, how does that affect the matchups, and where can the Pels maybe take advantage of that in a tough environment over there? They haven't won since 2017 in Miami.
Yeah, Bam Adebayo's a definite go now. I don't know if you've heard the news. But the graph was right. But look, Miami, first of all, hasn't been playing good basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, they were in the midst of a five-game winning streak when they came here to New Orleans and won. But since that time, you know, if you look at their wins, they've all been over Detroit three times, once over Utah, and then last night or two nights ago against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So nothing impressive. So that's a team that struggles to score, right? You never see them hit 120 points. So, of course, it's going to be a defensive battle. You're going to have to make every possession valuable, right? So limit Miami to one possession, all that type of stuff. Hopefully Jonas will play more minutes so you worry less about the rain bounding, but also get out in transition. And then I really think the key is getting up those three-point shots. You've got three-point shooters. You're going to have to win somehow. I think the Pelicans have that advantage. They don't have their two top guys, but the Pels still have a stable of shooters. Utilize them.
All right. Can they get this win tonight, you think?
I think they can, because look, Gus, we knew that last time these two teams met, everybody circled that next matchup, which is, of course, tonight. And then, of course, I think the Pelicans, like I said earlier, they're going to feel a little bit inspired because that BI news was about as positive as you could expect. So I think they're going to feel an uplift of, hey, we got to cover for our guy while he's out, and they're going to have the mentality of he's going to come back for the playoffs, but let's put ourselves in position to have a top six finish where BI can be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And it starts tonight. So I think, yeah, Najee, you know, and Jimmy Butler, I think all that's going to kind of, that emotion's going to carry over right to the start of the game. But the Pelicans just hopefully play smart. That's all I want to see. Zion can't have eight turnovers again.
That was the key last night. A lot of those turnovers early at five, I think, at halftime. That's going to be tough to do that. And again, I know General D's listening. He's like, that's why they need a point guard. But you know what? That's neither here nor there. You got to go with what you have right now. Hopefully they can get some wins here, and hopefully you get Brandon Ingram at some point in the playoffs. You still think there's any shot, you think, in your mind?
Yeah, I think B.I., best-case scenario, sounds like he's got a small bone bruise, because that just seems like 2 weeks in an evaluation period. It was just like Najee Marshall back in late October when he returned in the middle of November. So, yeah, fingers crossed. I'd say it's about 40-60, B.I. Okay. Given four and a half weeks, he could show up for first game of the playoffs.
Listen up. Ali Kosel covers the Pelicans and the NBA. Thank you, as always, sir. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely, Gus. Fingers crossed, buddy.
Yeah, I hear you. Fingers crossed to see what happens again. If you want to come on out, I'll be over there at Wrong Iron with an official Pelicans watch party. Even the missus is coming there. So our thanks to Dad. If you're listening, thank you. Appreciate you for coming in and taking care of the little guy. Not that he probably would rather eat dinner with you than me, to be honest with you. So he's going to be happy, little old Carver. Quick break. Marlon Favreit next on ESPN New Orleans.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003. Marlon Favreit. Big Bay 504 is the way to chime in. Via social media and Inside the Trenches, the podcast. Not just audio, but you can actually see Big Fave and his guest over there. Just go ahead and search Inside the Trenches over on YouTube. Sir, how are you?
Man, feeling good. And also getting up for coming on the radio with you pretty soon, 6 to 8 p.m. Hello, somebody.
I like that. I like that, sir. It's always good. All right, dude, you're part of the LSU Sports Radio Network here as well. So I want to ask you, because spring football is moving along there. Earlier this week, you know, Nussmeier, quarterback for the Tigers, he's like, you know, y'all going to be surprised with some of my athleticism and stuff. I'm not saying I'm Jaden Daniels. They're going to run it that way, but kind of show the athleticism and things of that nature. I kind of like that assertiveness, because isn't that what we talked about last Friday or even Monday? I forgot what day it was. But isn't that part of what spring ball is? Hey, I'm your guy. I'm your leader. I'm your quarterback. This is my team. This is my thing. And kind of approach that way, right? To where fall practice begins, and that's about getting down to business as the season's about to get going here against USC. Right now, it's about maybe establishing who's what, who's doing all those things, and show that you can and are capable of doing that.
Yeah, right now is the time that the guys want to showcase how they improved since the season as well. They went through all of the winter conditioning. Now we're in full swing. And what happens is, out of this bunch of guys, this is where you get your projected starters. So when they do the spring game and they go ones and they go twos, from there going into the season, you are the projected starter or rotational guy in this certain group, so on and so forth. In a lot of our cases, we had 1A and 1B. So there is some competing going on. You want to make plays. You want to be able to show off your talent. For a guy like Nussmeier, and just checking out a lot of the clips that we could see on YouTube from just the indoor practices where they're not really going against each other, you see he's becoming more comfortable. He's showing all other areas, as you said, his will. We see a lot of these deep ball, whether it's him hitting Chris Hilton or him hitting Tyree Lacy. He's showing that, man, I am big arm nuts, and I'm ready to take on the SEC. And another thing, what's going to be the report on Nussmeier? Like, coming out of this, is he a guy that could be projected all SEC? Will they mention him as quarterbacks to watch out for this year in the SEC? So he has a lot of that to prove here right now in the springtime.
All right. I see that. I think the other things, too, that kind of stand out, Marlon, is the ability of some of the guys to kind of show, hey, you know, you can play and things of that nature, backup starters, things of that nature. One of the things that I saw as well with Emory Jones going in and out, what Tyree Adams backed him up there at tackle. Yeah, Kyle Parker went with first team offense. Chris Hilton, Kyron Lacy, other receivers here as well. Is this the time where you kind of try to have in basketball's rotations, but also just kind of see how certain guys work with other players and quarterbacks and receivers and stuff?
Oh, absolutely. You want to be able to see a young guy like Tyree Adams out of St. Aug, who had so much potential, 6'8", right out of Marrero, Louisiana, a big kid. How does he look in some of these blocking, in some of our blocking pass pros, and some of our zone blocking, and however they decide to do their combination blocks? Just all of those things balled up into one. You want to be able to take a look at. We've heard a lot about Ashton Stamps. I've heard about even Christian Stamps starting to get some work in with the twos. Guys like Bo Borderline starting to get some work in with the twos, rotating in with the different quarterbacks. So this is an opportunity for you to see how the other guys look. Because when we mention guys like Kyrie Lacy, Chris Hilton, we've seen them last year in live games. We've seen them in SEC play, make big plays. But now is an opportunity for the guys that, even for this new coaching staff in a lot of areas, to see which guys could fit their system.
One of the things that I also saw here as well is they brought back a former defensive end to be a defensive analyst. What, Jeremiah Rasko?
Yeah, it's crazy. Rasko just followed me on Instagram this week.
There you go. Wonder what.
That's cool. And look at it. Eureka. I'm excited about bringing back familiarity.
Okay.
Because one thing about the players who played at LSU, one thing is the thing about the players that played at LSU, these guys are already accustomed to the tradition. They're going to take passion and coaching these guys up, especially a guy like Rasko, who saw a lot of success at that position. So you bring in an analyst, another mind, another set of ideas, and then you just continue to improve your defense. I love what the analyst jobs are because they can focus on certain areas. I can remember, like, in games, one analyst will just watch me.
Okay.
He would spend the whole time watching me in the game, and he could tell Lane or Coach Dunbar, hey, Marlon keeps doing this. He keeps it. If you wonder how, for our listeners, if you wonder how one coach is able to focus on so many different things, because you have several guys in the headset saying, this about that player. Hey, we need to adjust that. So when you look at all of those elements in the game, bringing in a guy like Jeremiah Rascal does bring bring that type of familiarity to the table, but also that structure to help everything flow fluently on defense.
Marlon, also the SEC released the schedules coming out here in a couple of seasons as well. Anything stood out to you when you take a look at the SEC schedules that are coming out here in 2025?
Well, I think we take a closer look at those away games, and I hope Chris Blair's listening. This would be a great opportunity for me, Brandon, and Hunt to travel on the road to Clemson. I've never been there before. I simply go out to Clemson, and then being able to play out in Oklahoma. I mean, we've seen Alabama on the road. We've seen with Ole Miss and Vanderbilt, those environments. But to imagine LSU played Oklahoma before, but to go to their home field, compete, it's just a different look. That's one thing I am excited about, the new scheduling, the different looks. And those two games, I think, outside us going to Vegas this year, it's going to be cool to see the purple and gold out in those areas.
And I think that's kind of one of those things that people kind of look at, man, where it's like, and it's one of the reasons why I do like Marlon more than anything. I like the fact that you have the college football playoff expanding, because it does allow you to do these things and not, you know, risk losing a game or things like that. But like you said, I mean, you're starting as USC this year. Next year, it's Clemson. And look, even the non-conference opponents, Louisiana Tech, Western Kentucky, people familiar with their programs have been Arkansas, Florida, South Carolina, A&M, Bama, Ole Miss. You mentioned Oklahoma and then Vandy being there towards the end. So, again, it's moving towards where you're primarily playing a lot of your teams in a conference. I would, you know, you don't have the directional schools and things of that nature. And I know it's good for Southern and Grambling and Northwestern, this and that. But, I mean, La Tech, Western Kentucky, that's it. I mean, everything else is Clemson and the SEC.
Pretty much. It's Clemson and the SEC. And
that's it.
This now, like you mentioned, this entire region. This entire region now, we get to explore and see areas we would typically see during the bowl game. We finally can now see up live. So I'm excited for this, for these players. It's good recruiting tools. Mm-hmm. Imagine talking to a parent and a kid that you're interested in coming and saying, "Man, we're gonna play in Vegas this year. Have you ever been to Oklahoma? You know, this is gonna be my first time too." So, you know, I look at those things and I'm excited for that, for those young men.
All right, let me ask you the most important question of the entire interview. Have the Cowboys done anything? Just wondering.
They're not doing nothing.
Nothing. Okay.
You know, Jerry, they're always about big splash. So they're waiting for to get close to the draft. You're going to hear some report. Jerry requests a special visit with Caleb Williams. I'm telling you, Gus, it's coming. It's going to be a splash. You know,
Hold on. I got to stop. Did you just say Caleb Williams? They're not going to go up there and get Caleb. Could you imagine?
That's why I'm saying crazy stuff like that. That's the type of stuff come out of Dallas. They don't go after Ivy's guys that they should go after, like, where they going to pick at Ron Flynn. That's why we're going to try to. They were able to pull off something to get Deion back in the day. You got to go back in the day.
Could you imagine if they did that? So oh, my gosh. I wouldn't know. I mean, I know. We'll see what takes place.
I saw Keenan Allen popping up at Caleb Williams' workout, you know, and the best sent him down there.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he wants to see where the quarterback's going to be, you know? I mean, I get it. I understand it.
And then he tried to pretend like he didn't see him.
Yeah. I love that. No, don't know what you're talking about. Gotcha. As always, man, appreciate the time, sir. Have a great weekend. And more importantly, we will see you on Monday.
Monday, Sunday, baby. Hello, somebody. Talk to you soon, Goose. Have a good weekend.
Sounds good. 800-998-1003. That is our Rudiman Can caller and guest hotline. That is Marlon Favre. I go check out Inside the Trenches over on YouTube. And, of course, Big Faith 504 is the way to follow over our next. We come back, Leo Haggerty, his thoughts on what we're seeing. Could we have another massive upset in the making. At the half, Western Kentucky 43, number 2 seed Marquette 36. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Leo Haggerty, 14-10 remaining in that one there. They were trailing at the half, 43-36. One of the games we're following here so far. Second full day of the NCAA tournament, March Madness. How are you today?
Gus, I'm better than Kentucky, that's for sure, right?
Hey, you saw the coverage last night. Jay Wright, head coach, of course, of Nova, was talking about, he said, the day and age of the one-and-doners taking on men and teams with NIL now that players are going to be sticking around a little bit more. He says it's over. He's going to have to pivot Calipari as to what he does and stuff. Do you think we're going to see a change on that? You know me, we've talked about this before. I'd love to see the college baseball rule. If you think you're LeBron and Kobe and you think you can go play right now and you're the number one pick, have fun. You know, enjoy it. Good luck to you. If not, you know, I'm even willing, hey, see where your name is in the draft, like the baseball draft. If you don't like where you're drafted, you can still go back in school. But if you arrive on campus, it's 3 years. But we'll see in 3 years. Develop your game, develop who you are, get your coaching, things of that nature. That'd be me. But with NIL, you maybe will have maybe some guys kind of stay here, perhaps, do you think? Or is that just wishful thinking?
Oh, no, I think that'll happen, especially with basketball, because keep in mind, they only draft 2 rounds. That's it. So you're only talking 60 guys. Mm-hmm. So those guys that are down the list, you know, somewhere in that second round, they may stick around, because what we're seeing, Gus, and I said this yesterday to you and John on the show, that you're playing teams that have seniors. And you're trying to do it with freshmen, and it just doesn't work. You know, the lights are really big. It really gets tough. And when you got a guy who's shooting the ball, and all they're doing is running high ball screens until they get their shooter on one of your post players that can't play on the perimeter, and this guy is burying threes, look what happened. He had 30 points yesterday, didn't make a basket inside his 3-point line. 10 threes and 2 free throws. That's unheard of, but guess what? That's the college game right now.
Mm-hmm. So what else stood out to you other than Kentucky yesterday?
How Nevada blew an 18-point lead in the last 7 minutes. I mean, that was phenomenal. They got outscored at 20-2, 22 runs.
Mm-hmm.
And when you never expected it, that stood out tremendously. And how about Michigan State? Just when you think Izzo doesn't have a team, he goes in, and I can guarantee you North Carolina wants no parts of Michigan State tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Because Izzo's team is always tournament tested, always. And that's just something that you're going to have to deal with. But when you look at what's happened yesterday, you know what? How about Gonzaga? 15 years in a row, they won. What really stood out to me, Gus, was the call that the referees blew in the Kansas-Stanford game.
That kid had a clean block.
The fact that they can't go back and review that.
I was going to say that.
Why can't you go back and review that?
There's no... Do you think that something like that brings to where... Because there is no challenges in the college game, right? You can't challenge, can you?
No.
Right. Do you think something like that makes it to where you could do it?
No, you can't. And the worst thing was Stanford got the rebound, and they're coming down probably 5-on-4. They're mm-hmm. going to get a shot to tie it or to win it. And I just think that the referee saw that kid fall so badly and blew the whistle, figured it got to be a foul.
I agree.
The cleanest block in the world.
I agree. I think that he saw him hit the rim and kind of looked like a flagrant, as like, must be a foul, and it wasn't.
No, and consider that Kansas was up 20, and then Stanford gets it back, and that cost them the game. And again, I don't expect to see that officiating crew go on because of missing that call. Plain and simple.
Yeah, it's gonna be rough. When you look at it from that perspective, Leo, we got a couple of fun games I think coming up here tonight. What's the one for folks that get home from work and check it out? The evenings, you got A&M Nebraska, Vermont, Duke, Grambling, Purdue, Charleston, Alabama, Longwood, Houston, James Madison, and Wisconsin, TCU, Utah State, Grand Canyon, St. Mary. Those are your late games.
I'll tell you what, I'm looking at a couple of those. I'm looking definitely at Murray State. This is another Oakland team. They are going to shoot the ball, and if they're shooting it well, look out. That's the problem. I look for Purdue, and again, with Oakland beating Kentucky the way it went down, every high-seeded team is going to sit their players down and say, this is what happens if you don't take care of business immediately, right now. And again, look at Tennessee. Tennessee came out and just destroyed St. Peter's right from the get-go because they saw what happened. And, you know, Rick Barnes said to his guys, hey, guys, this can happen to us. We need to go out and do it. So, yeah, look for that to happen. But I'll tell you what, hey, don't go to sleep on Grand Canyon. I tell you what, there's another team with a whole bunch of shooters just hanging around looking to be there. And I tell you, if I'm St. Mary's, I need to take care of business right away. A lot of good games tonight, Gus, and a lot of good ones this afternoon, too. You know, you got Houston. They're playing Longwood, but you know how Houston lays an egg. That's the problem. Is it going to be this game? Or is it going to be the other game? And what we're finding out, Gus, real quick, is that I don't care if it's a 1-16. You better bring your A game, because if you're bringing your B game and that team you're playing is bringing your A game, it's going to go down to the wire.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to kind of see what happens. Hopefully, I'm still waiting for my one buzzer beater. I like seeing the buzzer beaters. You know, I don't know. It's always kind of the fun aspect of it. What about the ladies? I'm looking at a commercial right now. Literally, it's Caitlin Clark. Are you going to be following the women's tournament a little bit more this year?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's just for the excitement value. Caitlin Clark against an undefeated South Carolina team? Hello. That's going to be. And remember, Iowa knocked South Carolina out last year because the South Carolina coach, who is really a good coach, said, you know what? She can't be that good. We're just going to man up. Well, guess what? She's that good. I expect Dawn Staley, if they get that far, they're going to double-team Caitlin Clark. They're going to make those other four people beat them because they're just not going to let that happen again.
It'll be interesting to see if she gets that far. LSU starts at 3 against Rice. And I think what will be interesting is if they move on in two games, there'll be UCLA a 2 seed, and then it would set up a matchup with Caitlin Clark in Iowa in the Elite Eight for a chance to go to the Final Four. So it's a tough draw for LSU.
Oh, it's a tough draw for Iowa, too. I mean, this is amazing that they put Iowa and LSU in the same draw, especially after last year's finals. I truly thought that they would separate, you know, those teams, but I guess they thought Ohio State, you know, okay, fine. You know, they'll put them around. But I tell you what, it's must-see TV anytime Caitlin Clark's on. I'm sorry. Hey, in fact, my correspondents are fighting to who gets to go to Albany to watch her play. You know, everybody wants to go see her because she's a phenomenon. And, Gus, you hit the nail on the head about 4, 5, 6 weeks ago when you said, is there a personality in college basketball, men or women, that's bigger than Caitlin Clark? Not no, hell no. She's the biggest.
Well, yeah, I'm with you. Let's see what takes place there. Anything of note in the world of the NFL? As we keep our eye on it, of course, here in the NFC South and around the NFL. Anything that stood out? We've had a couple of pro days. Caleb Williams threw out there. I saw some people still say, look, the arm's great that he's throwing it. They're still worried about the footwork and things of that nature. Jaden Daniels is coming up next week. And I did see somebody report, trying to think who it was. It was Hasselbeck kind of saying from ESPN, he thinks Drake May's on par with Matthew Stafford, and even Andrew Luck.
Gus, I don't see that.
I don't either.
And again, I saw what happened against Clemson. And, you know, until you beat the best in that division, okay, you're just – is he the guy or is he just another guy? I think he's somewhere in between. I don't think he's the guy, but I don't think he's just an average guy. And again, he's going to go to a bad team. And I'll tell you what, Gus, one of my correspondents, Ryan Neal, is going to be at the LSU Pro Day on the 27th. Maybe we can get him on to talk about what's going on down there with Jaden Daniels. What do you think?
Well, be interesting to see if that happens there as well. Mel Kiper released his mock draft earlier this week, post first 2 weeks of free agency. I thought it was interesting. He had a bunch of quarterbacks going different places here as well. But he had the Broncos going with J.J. McCarthy. Look, it depends who falls there. I don't think McCarthy gets further than that. I saw another one that had Bo Nix going there. Do you think the Broncos do wind up taking whatever quarterback is just left over there? Or do you think Sean Payton and then move up? I don't know what kind of ammo to have, but do you think they move up?
Well, I'll tell you what. If Michael Penix is hanging around...
You've been on him.
From what I understand, everybody's saying he's going to be late first, early second. Teams 15 through 25 are going to have it. I'd love to be in their draft room to see where they have Penix on the board, because the only thing knock against him is his knees. The only knock. Everything else. He throws the best ball. He progresses through his progressions better than anybody else in college football right now. It's just the knees. And you know what? I'm taking a shot on him because he can do more things at 6'4", and his release is the quickest in college football. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't see what these guys are seeing in some of these quarterbacks. Yeah, Bo Nix, everybody's saying, well, look what he was at Auburn. Hey, he's not at Auburn anymore. He's at Oregon. And he became a completion machine out there. Is McCarthy a system guy just because he played at Michigan? Yeah, it's going to be tough for these teams. And it's going to be interesting to see if somebody tries to move up to 4 or 5, especially if those three quarterbacks. If Daniels, Caleb Williams, and Drake May go 1, 2, and 3, let's see what happens at 4 and 5, because I think a lot of teams may try to move up in there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Let's see what takes place. Leo Haggerty, as always, appreciate the time, sir. Thank you.
Always. Hey, Gus, I'm getting ready to throw that shrimp paella on. I may need some. So check your FedEx box tomorrow, right?
Oh, I like that, man. Sounds good. I'll see if it's still as tasty as you think. Claim it to me. Thank you, as always, man. Appreciate the time. Hey, quick break. We come back. Final segment. 66-59 Marquette now leading Western Kentucky. 8:20 to play in the ball game. It's the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans. Prescription.
What would you say
you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
As always, appreciate it. Thank you. Tune us in. Sports Hangover, as again, the Pelicans tonight will be taking on the Miami Heat. 7 o'clock game. It's a late game Eastern time for it to be starting there, over there in Miami. Miami 3.5-point favorites. New Orleans 42-27. The Heat 38-31. Half game from the sixth spot. So obviously the game means a ton. Obviously a lot of the attention is going to be going to what happened the last time these two teams played. And Coach Willie Green was asked yesterday about what it's going to be like to face them again this coming night.
I'm sure both teams will be excited to play the game, for sure. You know, no one's forgot what happened. But for us, it's about winning the game in between the lines. It's not all of the other stuff. It's being physical in the right way, executing in the right way, being disciplined in the right way, and and trying to do what we can to win the game.
Look, it stunk because Najee Marshall got suspended, as well as Jimmy Butler, but Jose Alvarado got suspended a couple of games with his altercation there as well. So, obviously, everyone remembers that. Trey Murphy, after the game, had this to say about facing him.
You think about it, for sure. But,
You know, I think more so losing tonight definitely adds a little more fuel to the fire than what happened a month ago.
Yeah. Now, as far as some of the things that you take out of the game last night, and again, if you haven't heard, Brandon Ingram, left knee bone contusion, will be reevaluated in 2 weeks. No surgery, no structural damage found, things of that nature. So that's as a very good thing. That said, two things did take place in that loss yesterday that this team's going to have to figure out now, much less postseason. Teams are going to be physical. That's the word out. That's the book on the Pelicans. And it is absolutely that if they're physical, it's hard for them. They're just, I don't know if the team's built to kind of play that way, and it's affected them. And it looks like it affects how they're attacking that three-point arc. Orlando did a good job yesterday. Look, if you're looking at why they only had 8 3 attempts at halftime, they were 2 of 8 and didn't finish the game with 20. So why? Well, what's the issue here? Is Willie Green?
We have to create 3-point opportunities for each other, and this is one of their strengths defensively. They try to take away threes. We know it. Every time the ball goes from side to side, we got quality looks. But 20 threes is not enough.
All right. Trey Murphy had this to say as to why or how they can take more three attempts.
I mean, really, it's just continuing to move the ball and continuing to just be effective in that, run our offense with pace. If we don't run it with pace, then we're not able to create advantages. And so that'd be the biggest thing.
As for C.J. McCollum, how to get away more threes?
You got to get stops. Get out in transition. It's easy to get threes in transition. They're doubling down on Z, loading up, boxing elbows. We got to get downhill and try to get some driving kicks. But I think it just starts with getting stops. Easiest to get transition three-pointers.
The other thing you saw, too, was the defense. Physical, tall. You need ball movement. Again, look, if you're a fan, much less myself, I'm sitting here, and you're going to hear the team. Hey, they know what the other team's trying to do and how to play their style of basketball for whatever reason, the old phrase, they just don't do it. Here's what Coach had to say about the defense that the Magic play, and really on Zion Williamson.
They did a good job of getting into the paint, meeting him at the basket. I thought, once again, he could have got some calls that didn't go his way, but you know, we'll give credit to them. They were the better team tonight, and we have to regroup and get back after it.
High number of turnovers. Zion had 5 at the half.
Extremely handsy team. They got deflections. They got steals. You know, when you have 19 turnovers as a group and they score 25 points, it's tough to win on anyone's home floor. And then you add the 22nd chance points. So those two factors right there, that's, you know, death in the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, no doubt. It clearly was that you saw that. Trey Murphy on the Magic defense.
Big team. They're a large team. They can switch 1 through 5. They have good defensive discipline. They steal out on, you know, drives, so they take away the 3-ball, and then they defend at the rim pretty well. So, you know, got to give credit to Coach Mose for what they do and their game plan.
C.J. McCollum on the game plan.
Yeah, loading up the paint, closing out on shooters, making this drive. And I mean, credit, and they had a good game plan and they executed well.
There it is. So that is the key. And also, we touched on it already. A lot of people in the locker room were clearly worried and wondering about Brandon Ingram, if he was going to be okay.
He messed up the mood. The whole mood is not great. We're praying for him, hoping for the best. You know, B.I. is a really good human being, obviously a great basketball player, but solid human being, loves the game, and we all want what's best for him, and obviously what's best for our team, so we're hoping for the best.
Coach?
It's extremely difficult to see him go down. Our prayers will be going up tonight, and you know, hopefully we get some good news back.
Yeah, look, I mean, gotta say, it could have been worse. There are no tears and things of that nature, and you know, hopefully you'll have him back before the end of the season, if not by the playoffs. It's about a month. That's it. April 20th is the first round. That's a Saturday. So it'll be Saturday, Sunday, you'll see first round action. The play-ins will be during the week. Sunday before the 14th, that's the last day of regular season games. Pelicans host the Lakers in that. So Brandon Ingram will miss tonight. He'll miss Sunday at Detroit. Then he'll miss the 6-game homestand, which starts with OKC Tuesday, and then Milwaukee Thursday, and then Boston on Saturday, and then you have Easter. Then a couple of games after that, you have the Suns, Blazers, and Spurs going on. So, look, just somehow, some way, if you can secure that sixth spot, that will be the key. As we take a final look at the scores here, again, these scores are finals. If you've been following your bracket, you probably already know them. Baylor beat Colgate 92-67. Northwestern beat Florida Atlantic 77-65. That's a 9, beating an 8 in the seeding department. Western Kentucky is trailing Marquette 78-65. UAB and San Diego State in a close one. 135 remaining in the ballgame. The 5-seed San Diego State up 1, 64-63. About 3 minutes before halftime, Clemson, a 6-seed, 36-23, leading the 11-seeded New Mexico basketball team there. And you got Stetson, UConn coming up. Yale, Auburn, Colorado, Florida, A&M, Nebraska, Vermont, Duke, Grambling. It's at 6:25, so it should be fun. Matt Moscone after further review is next. See you over at either Wrong Iron tonight. We'll see you Monday on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Where do my friends and other students find their voice? We find our voice through the performing arts, along with millions of other high school students. By expressing yourself in a role on stage, through an instrument, or at the debate podium, the performing arts give us freedom to find ourselves, to find our place. The stage is where I can play, perform, and compete with my friends.
Performing arts at your school is where creativity meets courage. Encourage the students in your life to find their voice through the performing arts. This message presented by the NFHS, where we encourage all students to play, perform, and compete together.
How can you help Lafourche Parish Fire District Number 3? A yes vote on April 27th will allow Lafourche Parish Fire District 3 to maintain and continue providing quality emergency response to you and your family when you need it most. A yes vote will help in replacing aging equipment and maintain facilities and emergency response vehicles. A yes vote will allow Fire District 3 to continue providing your firefighters and dispatchers with the training they need to stay current with the ever-changing challenges we face daily. Lafourche Parish Fire District 3 firefighters are asking, please vote yes on April 27th.
Set yourself up for success when planning your next event, whether it be a festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or outdoor music venue. Joe Septic Contractors says it's important to cover your bases well before the days of your event. Joe Septic Contractors can supply 18, 10, 3, or 2-stall restroom air-conditioned trailers and luxury shower trailers of all sizes. Anytime, anywhere, call 24-7. Planning an event? Visit Joe Septic at viscom.net. Locations in Cutoff, Thibodaux, Fouchaw, Abbeville Reserve, Odessa, Texas, and Pascagoula, Mississippi.
Texting enrolls you in a recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Being young with unlimited energy to burn ever since I turned 40. I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
All guys lose their edge when they turn 40. The body has less testosterone. That's why I take Nugenix Total T.
I've heard about Nugenix. That really works?
Since I started taking Nugenix, I'm lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. I feel more energized at work. It's even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try?
Yep, send a text. It's that easy.
Text STREAK to 424-24. Right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. It's the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now and they'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, their newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text STREAK to 42424. That's STREAK to 42424.
Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Broken faucet? Faucet dripping? Can't stop the leak? You know who can?
Rudiman can! Rudiman can! Rudiman can! 262-8222! 262-8222!
Charlie did not die from an overdose. Charlie was poisoned.
No other family should go through this. It's just horrific.
Go to safe.pharmacy. Use the free tool. Learn if the online pharmacy you're using is safe.
Kevin, Canty, and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
Did someone just get a text on here?
But was that one on my Wordle chat?
Your what?
Hold on, the Wordle chat?
My Wordle chat.
At 6:01 a.m.?
Yeah, shout out to Tommy. Got it in three today.
Okay.
Wait a minute. You have a Wordle chat?
I might have to have
a conversation with Tommy about text message etiquette.
You send your score every day to hold each other accountable. Hey, right. I did it. And then we complain about the word. Oh, double E today. I can't believe it.
Unsportsmanlike. Weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Ramsey's gives you wonderful choices.
Yellow gold, white gold, rose gold, or platinum.
Platinum is an amazing value right now.
You can choose from Louisiana's largest selection of diamonds.
Natural diamonds, born in the earth.
Or created diamonds, born in a star.
We also have Louisiana's largest selection of engagement rings.
In addition to those, Ramsey's has hundreds of designer prototype engagement rings in open showcases.
Just pick them up and try them on.
Show us an engagement ring you like on your cell phone.
And we'll show you that engagement ring on your finger.
And every engagement ring comes with Ramsey's extraordinary lifetime warranty.
The best car companies will give you a 100,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty.
But Ramsey's bumper-to-bumper warranty is for 100,000 years.
Fabulous choices.
Wonderful prices.
And the strongest warranty of any jewelry store in America.
That's how Ramsey's became the largest diamond store in Louisiana.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
This is SportsCenter.
I'm Christine Lisi, Day 2, Men's NCAA Tournament. First round, San Diego State looking to hang on against UAB, up 68-65, 3 seconds left in regulation. Defending national champion, top overall seed on the men's side, Connecticut up big on Stetson, 41-10 first half. Marquette leading Western Kentucky, 80-67, just under 3 minutes to go in regulation. Clemson leading New Mexico, 36-23 first half. Finals, Northwestern got 27 from Ryan Langborg, 12 in overtime. Wildcats, 77-65 OT victory over Florida Atlantic. Baylor routed Colgate, 92-67. Yet another early exit in the tournament by Kentucky, leaving coach John Calipari wondering if he should change his approach to constructing his roster. ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis.
I get what Cal is saying, but he's going to continue to recruit the best talent, whether they're 18, 19, 24, 27, it doesn't matter.
Jay Billis, women's first round, number one overall seed. South Carolina rolled past Presbyterian 91-39 and will play North Carolina in round two.
Hey, it's your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Kennedy, coming up Monday. As we get closer to the end of the NBA regular season, I'll tell you which team is running out of time to get things turned around. It's on Sportsmanlike, 6 a.m. Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, and ESPNU.
Matt Moscona.
I'm very important.
After further review.
Say one more time.
After further review with Matt Moscona.
And here we go.
Live from the Mercedes-Benz of Baton Rouge Studios.
Let's
we go. Welcome aboard. Glad you're with us. AFR presented by Don Juan Cigar Bar. I'm Matt.
This is Shaq O'Neal, and I hate Matt.
Paul O'Neal.
They're chanting Paul O'Neal's name.
Sue.
I'm a
Barbie girl in the Barbie world. And Mr. Toby Tom Plate. We're here. Glad you are as well. Get out there. Make it a good one. Fantastic news. The Riot Radio Hours, after about a month hiatus, a return. Terry will be here 1 hour from right now. LSU sprinter Aaliyah Armstrong, bottom of this hour. The madness continues. We got a ton of baseball to talk about, but let's not waste any time. Let's get going.
It's time to pop the top on another edition of AFR with Bud Light. Drink easy.
As they say, the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. And on Sunday, Selection Sunday, when we saw the brackets popping up and all the potential opponents, there was a lot of chuckling. Of course, Haley Van Lith sitting next to Kim Mulkey when we learned that her former team, Louisville, was coming to the Maravich Center. And that meant a possible second-round matchup between LSU and Louisville should both teams advance. And I say that with all hesitance and all of the hypotheticals there, with all the trepidation, because it will not be LSU and Louisville. There will not be Haley Van Lith against her former team, because Middle Tennessee has upset the sixth-seed Louisville in the first game in Baton Rouge today. That just going final minutes ago, LSU and Rice were slated to tip off right now at 3 o'clock. Obviously, with this game going a bit long, LSU and Rice will be delayed a bit, but if LSU advances, they will play Middle Tennessee on Sunday and not Louisville. So the path